Today's scripture lesson is from John, chapter 11, verses 18 to 44. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus told her, "Your brother will rise again." "Yes," Martha said, "he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never ever die. Do you believe this, Martha?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God." Then she returned to Mary. She called Mary aside from the mourners and told her, "The teacher is here and wants to see you." So Mary immediately went to him. Jesus had stayed outside the village at the place where Martha met him. When the people who were at the house consoling Mary saw her leave so hastily, they assumed she was going to Lazarus's grave to weep. So they followed her there. When Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. "Where have you put him?" he asked them. They told him, "Lord, come and see." Then Jesus wept. The people who were standing nearby said, "See how much he loved him?" But some said, "This man healed a blind man. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying?" Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb, a cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. "Roll the stone aside," Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, "Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible." Jesus responded, "Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe?" So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, "Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here, so that they will believe you sent me." Then Jesus shouted, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave cloths, his face wrapped in a head cloth. Jesus told them, "Unwrap him and let him go."
So I've already been teased this morning. How come on Father's Day we're still in the middle of our Women in the Bible series? But today, we're going to take a look at Mary and Martha. Two women who show up in the New Testament perhaps more than any others. Their home in Bethany seems to have been kind of a home base for Jesus. Whenever he passed through the area, he would stop there for a meal, for an overnight. And so many times throughout the Bible, we catch Mary and Martha and Jesus together. We've already heard the story of the raising of their brother Lazarus, but I think the more famous story of Mary and Martha comes from the Gospel of Luke. So hear these words from Luke chapter 10. "Now as Jesus and the disciples went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her.'" This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, may your spirit be here with us now. As we hear these words read and proclaimed, let us not be distracted, but give us focus and clarity. As we hear these words spoken into our lives, and attempt to live in ways that please you. Send your spirit on us now, we pray. In Christ's holy name. Amen. So I stuck Cindy with the longer reading this morning. Did you notice that? Mine was only 5 verses. I was really surprised when I searched out this story in the scriptures this week that it's only 5 little verses. The story of Mary and Martha has always occupied a much bigger place in my biblical imagination. It's one of those stories that just makes sense, right? You can picture it. Some people get to be sitting around eating candy and socializing, and others are stuck back in the kitchen providing the hospitality for everybody else. If you just stop and think about it, if you're headed out to lunch for Father's Day today, when you're at a restaurant, sitting at your table enjoying your meal, how many other people are back behind the scenes doing something to make your meal happen? When you're at a church dinner, how many Marthas are back in the church kitchen getting things ready for everybody else? Or, think about it this way, at your next family gathering for one of the big holidays, when you are having turkey and stuffing and mashed potatoes and gravy and cranberry sauce and green beans with those little crunchy things on top and pie for dessert, how many people does it take to get all of that ready and to clean it up at the end? So Martha says to Jesus, "Hey, how about a little help in the kitchen here?" It seems so reasonable, doesn't it? Were you surprised, though, by Jesus' answer? Jesus says, "Leave your sister Mary alone." In the Greek, it says, "She has chosen a good thing." In many English translations, it says, "She has chosen the better thing." And sometimes in English, it's rendered as, "She has chosen the best thing." So that's the question I wanted to ask this morning. Which one is better? Which one is the better sister? Now, do you remember a few years ago, there was the Twilight book series and then movies? There was Team Edward and Team Jacob. I didn't have time to get t-shirts made for today, so instead, you have 2 little ballots, right? Hopefully you got these on the way in. We're going to take a few votes this morning, whether you are on Team Martha or Team Mary. Just hearing the scriptures read this morning and maybe seeing the children's time, how many of you are on Team Martha and how many on Team Mary? Go ahead. Lift up your vote. All right, you can look around too. It's not a secret ballot, right? They're colored. We're a little heavier on Martha, but it's close. Maybe 60-40, I'd say. Okay. So as we go along, we may take a few other votes this morning. I'm going to see if I can sway some opinions one way or the other. And now I have to admit, I have to be really careful with this story about Mary and Martha. Because my mother is Martha Keeney, and my mother-in-law is Mary Zywar. And here's the crazy thing, right? Their personalities actually match up with their biblical counterpart. My mom, we call her the Energizer Bunny. She never sits down, she can't sit still, she never relaxes, but she gets a ton of stuff done every day. Just to show you, here's when she was here with Churches Left the Building a couple of years ago. Not only did she color coordinate with the wall that she was painting, right? But she worked a morning project and an afternoon project and took the kids too. My mother-in-law, Mary, is very relaxed. She's the fun grandma. You get to enjoy whatever comes your way when you're with her. She's a watercolor artist, so you get to sit and paint and do all those kind of messy projects. You get to notice things, be perceptive, be creative. Right? Now, I would be really foolish to take a vote at this point, right? Team Mary or Team Martha, so we're going to skip that for now. But think about the two in the story this morning. Which one is the better story? Which one is the better sister? I want to see if I can change your sympathies at all one way or the other. So here's the first question. Let's start with wives out there. Wives, have your husbands been helping with the housework lately? Or do you ever feel like you're the only one who picks stuff up around your house? Do you feel like you're the only one that even notices that stuff needs to be picked up around your house? Now that the kids are home from school, are they leaving dirty dishes in incredible places that you would never expect to find them? And here, this really boils it down to just one question. Have you picked up anyone else's socks off the floor this week? All right. How many are Team Mary? How many are Team Martha? Give me your votes. You might as well keep them in both hands here. Oh, we got some more yellows, right? When you think about it that way, it makes sense. Well, how about this, friends? Do you know any people who are so uptight that they can never sit down and rest? Do you know those times when some incredible opportunity presents itself, like that once-in-a-lifetime kind of thing, something that just is not to be missed? At that moment, right, you can't count up all the costs and worry about your bank balance. You can't be stuck in the material things of this world. You can't worry about the rules or worry about being proper or worry about what everyone else might say. Have you ever been in one of those times that you've thought, in this moment, we've just got to go for it? How many of you would be Team Mary? Or how about this? How many times have you ever been in a group project at school, or a group project, they still have them when you grow up, at work, right? And I'm talking about the worst kind of group project, you know what I mean, right? Not when you get to pick your partner, but when somebody else assigns the group to you. And you know who you end up with when that happens, right? You get the laziest person in the room, the one who is going to be glad with whatever grade you earn for them. Everyone should pull their own weight, and everyone should carry their own water. That's only fair, right? How many of you are a Team Martha? Yeah? Well, how about this one? And I'm missing Helena again this morning, but I was going to ask her, do you think that boys and girls should be able to go to the same school? Do you think boys and girls should be able to get the same education? Do you think that women can fill the same careers as men? You know, as United Methodists, we've been ordaining women for over 60 years. The very first United Methodist woman ordained as a pastor was Maud Jensen from Central Pennsylvania. Well, you might read today's story and say, this is an incredible statement that Jesus, the great teacher, would allow a woman, Mary, to sit and learn theology with the men. If you like girl power, then you should be Team Mary, right? All right, let's take a vote. Which way are you leaning now? Either or. We were yellow, now we're blue again. You know, this story at its root feels a lot like it's just sibling rivalry, too, right? When the guys do it, it's James and John, and they get their mom involved, trying to argue about who is the greatest. When it comes to Mary and Martha, Martha seems like she just wants Jesus to notice how much work she's put in behind the scenes and thank her for it. Well, Mary and Martha jump off the page, and I believe they show us some other divisions that are still present in our world and especially in the church today. At the root of this story comes a question, right? What is the most important thing? Are we supposed to be first, like Mary? Just be in the presence of Jesus and listen and learn from him? Or are we supposed to do things first? Like Martha, who knows that nobody else is going to clear the plates away unless she does it. Whoop. This is one way of thinking about it, right? When somebody new from outside the church comes to us for the first time, what's the pattern we expect of them? Sometimes we would say, you have to believe, right? And then your faith will drive your actions. And once you believe and behave like we do, then you belong here. That makes you one of us. This is Mary's model, right? Our thoughts and our beliefs come first, and they lead us to Christ-like action. But some would argue that a new pattern's emerging, especially with younger generations, where everything gets flipped. What if you belong first? And once you feel like you belong, then you start to behave like the others around you. And once you do the things that they do, then you start to believe the things they believe. In this pattern, our actions shape us to be more Christ-like and lead us toward the mind and the heart of Christ. When you think about it this way, you could boil it down to a question. What is the first thing somebody should experience of being a Christian? Do they have to come to worship first? Or could it be a mission experience that they join us for? Which one is right? Team Mary, Team Martha? Well, the Catholic Church has used these two archetypes for a long time. Team Mary and Team Martha. If you were a woman in the Catholic Church anywhere in the last 2,000 years, you could only join one team or the other. If you were a good housewife, you could follow, and this is no joke, the patron saint of home economics, right? Martha. You could raise kids, build a home. That was one route to go. Do all the things like Martha has done them. And the only other option you had as a Catholic woman in the last 2,000 years was to become a nun, right? Hence, Mary, the patron saint of the contemplatives. Well, in church today, we might use some different labels for this, right? Maybe you're the kind of Christian who's really into evangelism. You'd think it'd be great if we'd have a big prayer vigil and a revival, right? You would say the most important thing about following Jesus is your relationship with him, right? Then you would join Team Mary. But maybe you would say the most important thing about being a Christian is missions, that it's about social justice, doing God's work in the world, right? Then you should join Team Martha. You can see this split in another story in the Bible that we didn't get to, but you might be familiar with. If you remember at the Last Supper, Mary comes in with a very expensive bottle of perfume. She pours it on Jesus' feet, and she washes his feet with her hair. And Judas says, that was worth 300 denarii. We could have spent it on the poor. The other place I've definitely seen this division between Team Mary and Team Martha is in the political arena lately. When something bad happens, we seem to get two reactions, right? We have the thoughts and prayers people, and then we have this other group who says, nope, we need to do something about it. And each side argues with the other, right? Sometimes Christians on both sides, that the other is showing hypocrisy. The thoughts and prayers people and the do something people. As if somehow praying and taking action were two completely separate things. What if we were allowed to bring these back together? So hold on to your ballots here, but we're going to go back and just hear a little bit of the story again. Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to Jesus and asked, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen a good thing, which will not be taken away from her." You know, if you go to yet another point in the Bible where you meet Mary and Martha, at that Last Supper they spend with Jesus together, we hear them both profess their faith in Jesus. Martha made this statement in today's reading, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." One of the most fully formed statements of faith by any disciple in any gospel. But at that Last Supper that they spend together, it says Martha is happily in the kitchen, and Mary is happily among the diners. Each woman serving Jesus with the gifts she was given. I mean, really, why does it have to be a competition? Why do we make it a competition every time we read this story? We've been making the same mistake for a couple thousand years. But Jesus saw it differently, I'm convinced. He saw two incredible sisters, each one gifted in a different way. When he comes back to their house after rebuking Martha, on the next visit, Martha serves in the kitchen and Mary pours perfume on his feet, and everyone is happy and gladly serving together. Jesus rebukes Martha that Mary is welcome to stay and to learn. Jesus, who empowered women for ministry in a variety of ways. Jesus, who told women that he was the Messiah. Jesus, who sent women to be apostles to the apostles. Jesus, who allowed a woman, Mary, to anoint him before his death. And Jesus, who was resurrected and first told women to go and share the good news. Thanks be to God for the gifts of Mary and the gifts of Martha. Amen. I would invite you to stand and sing now from the small songbook on page 2062. We'll sing Lily of the Valley.